الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today inshallah we will be continuing in the book of the virtues of Quran in Sahih Muslim. Our topic last time was in the chapter concerning the Fatiha of Quran. The Fatiha, which means the introduction of the Quran. And we mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said that Fatihatul Kitab or Fatihatul Quran is the greatest surah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, another hadith regarding some of the surahs in Quran. Abu Humama al-Bahili, one of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, recite the Quran, for it will come for you on the day of judgment as an intercessor. Recite those two surahs, Al-Baqarah and Al-Umran, for they will come on the day of judgment shading those who have been reciting them. Recite Surah Al-Baqarah because taking it is a blessing and leaving it is leads to sorrow, and the devils cannot take it or the magicians cannot take it. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is first emphasizing to recite the Quran as a whole, because the Quran is all but blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran are the surahs which are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in reciting the Quran one will get 10 rewards for each letter that he pronounces. For example, Alif, Lam, Mim, these are 3 letters, so he will get 30 rewards for reciting those 3 letters, which shows that reciting the Quran has great blessings and great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us more by saying that Quran will come as an intercessor for those who recite it truly in this life. Now, to recite it truly means that one has to pay attention to the meaning of what he recites, and not only pay attention to the wording and to how he pronounces the words, but to the meaning. And the paying the attention to the meaning is more important than paying the attention to pronouncing the words in the right way. Of course, both of them are good and both of them are important and both of them are necessary, but the main goal of reciting the Quran is to make advantage of what you recite and to act upon what you learn. The companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, Abu Abdurrahman Sulami, one of the students of the companions, said that Uthman ibn Affan and Zayd ibn Thabit and Ubay ibn Ka'b, those great companions who were scholars in Quran, they were telling me that their way in reciting the Quran was such that they would not go beyond 10 verses until they learn all the knowledge that is included in those 10 verses, and they learn all the action in those 10 verses. What he means by the knowledge in those verses, the knowledge concerning our faith in Allah and the Day of Judgment and so on. And what he means by the action included in those verses, the verses which order us to do such and such and to act upon such and such. Those are the verses of action. So he said, we finished reciting the whole Quran, learning all the knowledge and all the action. And also Abdullah ibn Umar and Jundub ibn Abdullah, two companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that we learned the faith and then we learned the rules of Quran, or the rules and laws that are mentioned in Quran. So we acted by those laws and we acted by those rules, and our faith has increased by action. So this shows that they have learned the faith from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there are so many verses in Quran which are concerned mainly about our faith. And indeed, faith deserves to be established first, and indeed deserves to be established more widely, because faith is the foundation of our action. And therefore you find in Quran, especially in the surahs or the verses which were revealed in Mecca at the beginning of Islam, that those surahs and those verses emphasize the issues of faith, emphasize the issues regarding our faith in Allah, to know about Allah, to know about His attributes, to know about His rights, and the other articles of faith, our faith in the hereafter, in paradise, in hellfire, and so on, our faith in the messengers, our faith in the angels, our faith in the divine decree. So you find in Quran great emphasis on faith, and similarly in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you also find great emphasis on the issues of faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasizes the issues of faith in his hadith, emphasizes the issue of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, warn us against shirk, and warn us against actions which might lead to shirk and beliefs which might lead to shirk. And therefore you find in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like you, what you find in the Book of Allah, the emphasis on the issues of faith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordering us in this hadith to recite the Quran, and especially to recite Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran. Those two long surahs, two great surahs, include a lot of issues, rules, laws regarding our life, regarding matters that we should act upon. And also they include a great part which deals with faith, the issues of faith. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that those two surahs, for someone to recite them and to memorize them and to act by them, they will come in the day of judgment and shade him from the this will be a protection from the hotness of the sun, which will be very close to the heads on the day of judgment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there is a blessing in taking the Surah Al-Baqarah, in reciting it, in memorizing it, in acting upon it. Now the blessing, first of all, the blessing of the recitation itself, where you will get 10 rewards for each letter that you recite, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Alif Lam Mim are 3 letters, and you will be rewarded for each letter by 10 rewards. And the blessing is also by learning all the matters of faith in this surah. Indeed, there are so many great verses in this surah which emphasize the issues of faith. For example, the first verses of the surah, the first five verses, describe the believers and how they should be, what are their qualities. And the second two verses describe the rejectors of faith, who reject faith clearly and who reject faith directly. And then the 13 verses which come next describe the rejectors of faith who do not reject it clearly, the hypocrites who play around, who show faith when they come with the faithful and show their true nature when they mix with the rejectors of faith. And especially at the end of this surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, the last two verses, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have emphasized to recite those two verses, and he says, he who recites those two verses at one night, they will be sufficient for him, meaning there will be sufficient protection for him, and that there will be sufficient reward for him, because there are great meanings in those two verses. As a matter of fact, if one recites those two verses, he will find that those two verses cover all the articles of faith. Everything regarding the faith is mentioned in those two verses. Also in those two verses, one reminds himself with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all things around us, of all things within us, and therefore this will remind us of being aware of Allah and being afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being watchful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah also there is a great verse, and that is the greatest verse in Quran. Now we knew from the first hadith that Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah or the greatest chapter in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why the book of Allah started with that surah. And also we must know that there is a verse in Quran which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described to be the greatest verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that verse is Ayatul Kursi. Ubay ibn Ka'b, one of the companions, said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me, do you know which verse of the book of Allah is the greatest? He said, I replied to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, Allah and his Messenger know best. He said this due to his politeness. He did not want to say something before the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it. Otherwise, as the story shows, he knew which verse was the greatest verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but due to his politeness with Allah and his Messenger, he said, Allah and his Messenger know best. But the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him again, do you know which verse in the book of Allah is the greatest? He said, I replied, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. This is the start of Ayatul Kursi. So he said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand on my chest and he said, congratulations for this knowledge. Now, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam congratulates him for this knowledge, it is not something easy, because to pick up one single verse out of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to know that this is the greatest verse in the book of Allah, this is not something easy. And this is something that usually cannot be known except by revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this case, this companion of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to his great faith and due to his wide knowledge and great knowledge, he could pick out the greatest verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this shows how knowledgeable the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were, because they were so knowledgeable in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this gives us a clue to the fact that we must be restricted to their understanding, the companions' understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Ubay ibn Ka'b was one of the great scholars amongst the companions, the scholars of Quran. Also, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Zayd ibn Thabit and Abdullah ibn Abbas and other companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were scholars in Quran and who were explaining the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One must refer to their understanding. If we go to the books of tafsir, such as the great book which is called Tafsir al-Tabari, the Tafsir of al-Tabari, you will find that in each verse he will bring the explanations of those companions. He will bring this verse and then he will say, Abdullah ibn Abbas said such and such, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said such and such, and so on. And also he will bring the explanations of the students of those companions, such as Mujahid, who was the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and such as Alqama, who was the student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and such as Ata and Qatada, and many other students of the companions who took the meanings directly from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very important for us to restrict our understanding of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the understandings of the Sahaba, and not to go beyond that, not to go in our understandings, not to differ from their understandings, because when we differ from them, we know for sure that we are wrong, because they knew the meanings of those verses better than us, and they took the meanings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. Therefore, if we come across any meaning or understanding of a verse which is different than their understanding, then we are not understanding the right thing. This is in general. It is very important for us to understand the meaning of Quran, and when, inshallah, next time we will speak about Ayat al-Kursi in detail. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. I praise him, I seek his forgiveness, I bear witness that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad is the slave and messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the fifth night of Ramadan, I spoke of reciting the Quran, and I said that reciting the Quran is of two kinds. The first kind is to recite the words of Quran, and the second type of recitation is to understand the meaning of Quran, and this is the goal of reciting Quran, to understand its meaning and to follow by action. So anyone who understands what he recites and he acts upon what he understands, then he has truly recited the Quran as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered. And of course, this is the reason for revealing the Quran. or this is the goal for revealing the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. It is a book that we have descended to you. It is blessed so that you will think of the meanings of its verses, and so that it will be a remembrance for those who are thoughtful or those who think. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have called his book to be blessed, and the only blessing or the blessing comes by understanding the verses of Quran and by acting upon it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so that you understand it, understand the verses, and so that you take the verses as a remembrance, that is, to act upon them. One of the students of the companions, Abu Abdurrahman Sulami, said that those who were teaching us the Quran, companions such as Uthman ibn Affan, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and others, they told us that their way in reciting the Quran was such that when they learn 10 verses from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would not go beyond those 10 verses until they learn all that is in those verses, whatever knowledge in those verses and whatever orders and rules in those verses. So he said, we learned the Quran, we learned the knowledge within it, and we learned the action all together. Now this is the way, this was the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it should be the way of all the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when my guidance come to you, then those who follow my guidance, they will not go astray and they will not be miserable. But those who turn away from my remembrance, then they will have a tough life, and they will be resurrected on the day of judgment blind. So one of them would say, oh my Lord, why have you resurrected me blind when I was seeing and with my full capabilities of seeing? He will be told, my verses have came to you and you have forgotten them, you have not acted upon them. Therefore, today you will be forgotten, just like you have forgotten my verses. And this is the way we will punish those who transgress and those who do not believe in the verses from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this verse, it is very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon sending the book to us, he meant for us to follow it, and by following it, then we will not go astray and we will not be miserable. We will not go astray in this life and we will not be miserable in the other life. So this is the point, that those who do not follow the book of Allah, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be misguided in this life. They will be confused, they will be following their own desires, and they will be following opinions of people and opinions from Muslims and non-Muslims, and they will be following their desires. They will be in chaos, they will be in misguidance, in total darkness. And on the day of judgment, they will not be saved from hellfire because they have not acted upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be miserable by tasting the hellfire. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about a group of people that those people said that our hearts are sealed we cannot understand what you are reciting for us, and our ears cannot hear what you say. In other words, their ears hear the sound, but that hearing does not reach their understanding and does not reach their heart. So any hearing which does not reach their understanding and their heart is actually not a hearing. So if you open your eyes and look at something when your thinking is altogether away from what you are looking at, then you are not seeing that thing. And when you open your ears to listen to something, but your heart and your thinking is altogether away, you are not understanding what you are listening to, then you have not heard. So this is why those people will be saying this in the Day of Judgment. And also what we mentioned previously regarding those who have not acted upon the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him on the Day of Judgment that you have forgotten our verses, therefore we will forget you, we will not treat you in a nice way, we will be punishing you. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported that when he prayed the Fajr prayer, the morning prayer, he was asking his companions, what have you dreamt of in your nights? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant the good dreams. Sometimes people dream something which has an explanation, and therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking his companions about those types of dreams which have good explanations. This is a way to teach the people. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have seen such and such, and he mentioned a long dream. But within that long dream, he said, I dreamt that I was taken to somewhere until we came to a man who was lying down. And another man was standing near him and holding a big stone. Then he was taking this stone and throwing it all together at the head of the man who was lying down, and his head will be broken and the stone will go away. Then the man will take the stone again and he will come back to his position, and the person who is lying down will become normal, his head will become normal again, and this man who is holding the stone will throw it again on his head and will break his head, and so on. He will be doing this continuously. So the messenger said that when I saw this in my dream, I said, glory be to Allah. He was amazed, what is this? And this is the way the believers show their amazement from something. They say Subhanallah or something like that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, what is this? So those who were taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that let's go now and we will tell you about him later on. Now in this hadith, of course, when they told him about this man, they said, this man who was laying down and was beaten on his head, this man actually was reciting the Quran, but he was not acting upon it, and he was not waking up for the obligatory prayer on time. And of course, not waking up for the obligatory prayer on time it is not acting upon Quran also, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, that prayers indeed are prescribed for the believers in certain times. If you don't pray within those times, then you are not acting upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man who was being tortured in this way, his crime was that he was not acting upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only by acting upon the book of Allah, we will be in total light and in total guidance. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I have left amongst you what if you stick with, then you will never go astray, and that is the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are indeed the guidance for those who stick to them, not for those who recite them for blessings. And also there is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Quran will be coming to a certain person in the day of judgment in the form of a man. This man will say, "Oh my Lord, you have made me a burden on this person, and this person did not carry this burden. He transgressed the limits, and he has lost all the obligations. He did not act upon the obligations which are in Quran, and he followed his desires by doing all that which is a disobedience," and so on. So the man which is actually the Quran, and it will come in the form of a man, will be saying such things until he will be told, "Take this person to hellfire." And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith that Quran is either a proof for you or a proof against you. Now, proof for you if you act upon it, and a proof against you if you do not act upon it. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu also said that the Quran will be an intercessor for you on the day of judgment, and its intercession will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you make the Quran your leader and follow it, then it will lead you to paradise. And if you make the Quran behind your back, in other words, you don't act upon it, then it will take you to hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, have said about his book that if it has been revealed to a mountain, you would find the mountain in such a shape where it is broken due to the fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and due to the heavy burden. So the Quran is not something easy. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and within the Quran there are the orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course the believer has to take care of those orders and to follow those orders. So this is the real recitation of Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another true hadith, there might be someone who recites the Quran and the Quran curses him. Now this is something which we must not fall into, and that is to recite the Quran and to go against it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Jews in his book that they have thrown the Book of Allah behind their backs. Now, they have not physically done that, but they have stopped acting upon the Book of Allah, and therefore they were described as such. And of course, to stop the action does not mean to stop acting upon all the orders. No, they were acting upon some of the orders of their book, but since they were not acting upon the other part of their book or other orders, then they were described to be throwing the Book of Allah behind their backs. And if we do so, then we will fit this description. And we should not make the Quran secluded from our life and from our behaviors and from our morals and from our beliefs and from our actions. We should make the Quran our life guidance with all respects in all things. And this is why the Quran was revealed. It was not revealed to be put on the shelves and to be treated as just something holy and blessed. This is not why the Quran was revealed. And unfortunately, this is how most of the Muslims nowadays treat the Quran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the right path. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Should accept Allah and that Muhammad is the slave and messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He who Allah guides, no one can lead him astray, and he who Allah leads astray, no one can guide. Today I will be talking about some etiquettes of reciting the Quran, how the believer should take care of his recitation. Of course, as you know, that this Quran, which is in your hands and which you recite by your tongue and hear by your ears and memorize in your heart and write with your hands, this is actually the talk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all things. Now, the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the strong rope that if you hold to, you will be guided in the right way. This is the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the blessed remembrance, and this is the clear light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have spoken it truly. Of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described to speak, we don't know how his description is, but we believe in it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks is that way which suits his glory. And it is not the way we speak, and it is not permissible for anyone to imagine any of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are beyond the thinking and the imagination of us in this life. Now, the Quran was received by Jibreel, the angel Jibreel, the trustworthy angel. And Jibreel, upon receiving it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he descended with it to the heart of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that it become as a guidance for mankind and as a warner with a clear tongue, clear Arabic tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described his book with many descriptions so that we respect this book and so that we look at it in a dignified way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Quran that it is a guidance for all mankind. And he said, or he said it is a guidance for the people, and of course it is a guidance for the believers, because the disbelievers don't follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that those verses in Quran are clear signs of guidance for the believers. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it the wise remembrance, and he has called it a proof from your Lord, and he has called it a clear light, and many other descriptions in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about his book that with no doubt it is from the Lord of the universe. So this is to make sure that this is the book of Allah truly, and these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, and believe so. And anyone who has any doubts about the book of Allah, that they are not the actual word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is not a Muslim. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this book was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise, the most knowing, or the most watching. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this book is based on wisdom and based on knowledge, because it is revealed from the most wise and from the most knowledgeable. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have promised in his book to protect this book. He said, we have revealed the remembrance, which is the book of Allah, and we will be preserving it, protecting it. So these verses and many other verses were in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that this book is a guidance for the believers, and it's a means of giving them the good news, and it's a warner for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, say, O Muhammad, if all mankind in addition to the jinn were to gather to bring like this Quran, they will not be able to do so even when they support each other in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent down the Quran to you so that you become miserable. It is only but a remembrance for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been sent down from the one who has created the earth and heavens. So this is something that the believer must remember, that this Quran is not meant to be a source of misery for us. It is meant to be a source of guidance and a way of remembrance for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it will not be a remembrance for those who do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Quran that the devils have not come down with it, and they would not do so, and they cannot do so. So we know that the devils whisper to people in a wrong way to take them away from the right path. So those descriptions and many other descriptions in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must motivate us to recite Quran in the best way. One of the etiquettes of reciting Quran is that in reciting the Quran, one should intend his recitation to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important etiquette of reciting the Quran. As you know, that without the pure intention, no action will be accepted, no worship will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if this worship was not purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, if someone recites the Quran so that people look at him and say good things about him, then he is not reciting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore his recitation will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered us with this sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they have not been ordered except to worship Allah sincerely and to avoid all forms of associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite the Quran and seek with your recitation the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning make your intention purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reciting the Quran before some people who will come later on and who will be reading the Quran for the sake of some worldly gain. And this is a warning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there will come such people who will recite Quran for the sake of some praise or some money and so on. The next etiquette of reciting the Quran, and this is very important, that is to recite Quran with full attendance of your heart and your thought. In other words, when you recite the Quran, you should make sure that your heart is altogether attending what you recite, and that your thoughts are not absent, that your thoughts are altogether attending what you recite. And you should do your best to think of what you recite and to make use of what you recite. This is actually the one of the most important etiquettes of reciting the Quran, and by this alone you will benefit from your recitation. Also, one of the etiquettes of reciting the Quran, when you are reciting from the Book of Allah, from the Quran itself, then you should have ablution. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told one of his companions that no one without ablution should recite the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you recite it from your memory, then the ablution is not necessary. Or if you recite it from any other book, then the ablution is not necessary. But you should be in a pure state. In other words, the purity is of two kinds. The ablution is the most perfect purity, but you should not be on janabah, for example, when you recite the Quran, even from your memory. As Ali radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making us recite Quran as long as we were not on janabah. So this is one of the etiquettes of reciting the Quran. Another etiquette of reciting the Quran is that you should not recite the Quran in dirty places or in a place where people are listening to something else. They are disrespecting the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that the believer must put in mind, that when he recites the Quran, he should be doing so in a clean place. And he should be doing so in a place where the Quran is respected and listened to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Quran is recited, then you must listen and understand. So this is something which is part of our respect for the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is one of the etiquettes of reciting the Quran to start by seeking refuge in Allah from the devil. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you recite the Quran, then you should seek refuge in Allah from the wicked devil. Because, of course, the devil will strive his best to take your thinking away and take your heart away and to misguide you. So when you recite the Quran, you need the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the whisper of shaitan. Therefore, you should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan. This is one of the etiquettes. To say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is also another etiquette when you start the surah. Then it is preferable to do so. Amongst the etiquettes of reciting the Quran is that you should recite it with a nice and clear voice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a true hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to those prophets who recite the Quran in a nice voice. So this is something which should be a motivation for the believer to recite in the best way. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in another true hadith that he who does not recite Quran in the best way, he is not one of us, or the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning that when one recites the Quran, his recitation should as much as possible be in the best way. He should learn the rules for reciting the Quran. There are some rules of tajweed, and tajweed means the best way of reciting the Quran. Now, those rules of tajweed, most of those rules are some rules which are part of the language which Quran was revealed in, and that is the language of the people of Quraysh. Some of those rules of tajweed might not be that necessary, but most of those rules are necessary for the one who recites the Quran. But one should bear in his mind that what is most important in reciting Quran is to understand the meanings of what he recites and to act upon what he understands. This is the part which is most important. But it is also of good importance to recite Quran properly and to recite the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to recite the Quran with slowness and not to do so fast, because when you recite it fast, it is difficult for you to follow the meanings. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrated about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extending the words so much when he was reciting, and he was stopping at the end of each verse. Also, amongst the etiquettes, to make the prostrations when necessary, when there is a verse where there is a sign ordering you to make the prostration. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who take care of reciting the Quran. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.